So you know when you read the Bible slowly and you pray over these words, you know, it can bring out some details that seem strange or maybe are missed when you read it really fast and you're not really reading it to kind of figure out what God is talking about. And in today's gospel, there's really an interesting detail that seems kind of really unimportant and probably missed by most people, but not for those who study the Bible. The people bring Jesus a deaf man, and he has a speech impediment, hoping that he could heal this deaf man. And then it says that Jesus took the man off by himself, away from the crowd. Now that statement kind of begs the question, why would he do that? Why would they even say that in the Bible, that small detail? Why would he take him off and away from the crowd to heal him? Why wouldn't he heal him like in front of everybody so that then he would wow the people, you know, and they would all see how great Jesus is? The gospel also says that Jesus ordered them, do not tell anybody that I just healed you. Jesus heals a man, but doesn't want anyone to know about the healing. Some would say that, you know, he'd get a lot more followers, a lot more people would believe if they just saw it right in front of them. Why would Jesus want to keep something as amazing as that a secret? Biblical scholars, you know, call that this the messianic secret. It's the term they use when you look at Mark's gospel. Jesus doesn't want people to know, but knowing about those healings would help them believe, at least for all of us, because is that what he was looking for? Or would he know that it would distort what it is they believed about Jesus? You know, a key question that may be found in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Once he's baptized and he's ready for public ministry, it says that he was driven into the desert and was tempted by the devil to be purified from humanity's great temptations. And the scripture speaks of three different temptations that Jesus faced. And one of them is Satan brings him up to the high mountain and he shows them all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, all this I would give to you if you serve me, Satan. Fame, riches, power, big temptations. And there's something within the human spirit that kind of really desires these. And the challenge, I think, of faith in Jesus' response is that, and with these temptations, is that it is to serve God, the Father in heaven alone. Nothing else. And no one else. And all along with this desire to be famous or great and well thought of is the human's thirst kind of for sensationalism. You know, don't we long to see amazing miracles happen? These extraordinary things, big splashes, chasing after these amazing things. Watching kind of spectacular shows that kind of like blow you over. You want to see really important people. So when they come, people just crush each other to see and get a glimpse of important people. And the nightly news in Hollywood and TMZ and all the rest, they create a buzz and a hype around something so that people get excited about it. And in the midst of all that flash, it's hard to find the truth, the good, the holy. Now, what could be more sensational than to cure a person in front of everyone? It even says in some places that they were ready to carry him off as a king when they saw these miracles happening. But faith that is based on sensationalism is not what Christ came to bring. And there's a huge temptation to make faith believable only in the extraordinary, to make it difficult to separate true faith in God from the desire for the amazing, you know, beyond this world sensationalism. It's often said that if Jesus would just come here in power and might and do amazing things and all kinds of miracles, a lot of people would believe. Question would be, would they love God more? Or would they love these spectacular things he does? Instead, in the gospel, Jesus touches the individual. He cures the man by taking him away from the crowd and touching him personally. He encountered the man away from the hoopla that we as humans try usually create. And he still does that today. The first reading speaks of an opening of the eyes of the blind, the healing of the sick, and the satisfying of the thirst with living water. And these point to the work of God and the coming of the kingdom that Jesus brought when he entered the world. And God's work does not bring great headlines, does not capture the attention of the massive crowds. Instead, the church is filled with men and women of God who quietly bring food to the poor, pray for those in need, tend to the work of Jesus without fanfare, without much glory, without being chased by reporters so that it becomes the news story. They are people of faith who love the Lord. Take a look at Mass. You know, good people give me great advice about how to make Mass more spectacular, to catch the people's attention, maybe like for some of your kids or grandkids. Maybe some rock music, some more dynamic speakers, or maybe like a rally. Let's get everybody up and wave hands, you know, a great production. These things would really catch everyone's attention. The more they would like it, the more they would come. But instead, we sing simple songs to God so that everybody can sing who wants to praise God. We read from the Bible and we take bread and wine. We go to the altar of God and offer these things along with our lives with Christ on the cross. I used to say to kids, if we offered pizza and beer, this place would be packed. But instead, simple bread and wine is all we offer. Like he did the night before he died. And so we receive the grace of his death and resurrection. But it's that simple. And it is something ordinary when we look at it. And yet God promises a deep encounter with him and his holy people in the body of Christ. And so too with our lives. He will take you and me aside, away from the crowd, the rally, the sensationalism found in our culture, and be with us as we wake up in the morning, feed our family, get ready for work. He'll touch our lives in the caring of our elderly parents, in doing our homework, in the yard work. Faith is lived out in the teaching of our children to love God and neighbor, teaching the meaning of forgiveness as Jesus taught us, teaching our children to make the sign of the cross, and then to pray at the end of a day offered to the Lord. It's that ordinary. The everyday, the simple. And it's not eye-catching and sensational. And this is how God made the world and for us to live in it. We're born into families, we grow up, we learn to love, honor, and adore God who made all of this. And we discover that this is an amazing world when we encounter people who come in and out of our lives and prepare our souls to meet our Creator one day. For some, they say that's boring. And so we have to create things ourselves to pump it all up so that we'd be glued by it. And Hollywood and news stories and drama and power and spectacular are looking for the wow. They're looking to wow us so that we then would pay attention to them. An everyday diet of this in our culture, being on speed, really, so that the ordinary becomes too unfulfilling. And so we look for something more, something else. And I think that that's the huge distraction. It's a drug that leaves us only wanting for the next big eye-catching thing that will make you turn your head toward it. And all of it keeping your attention away from the deep, the meaningful, the the long-lasting, the soul-touching, holistic, and holy life that God created for us. It's simple, and it's pure, and it's meaningful, and it's basic, and more importantly, it's eternal. It's not like the distracted world that passes by, the next shallow, flashy in the pan, eye-catching thing that just comes and goes all the time. It's like looking for more hits on the YouTube or on like Facebook or TikTok and looking at the next video because maybe this one will be even funnier than the one I just listened to. You know, when our relationship with Jesus is chasing after these miracles or these good feelings or what it can do for me, then it's not what faith offers. Because Jesus touches the soul and the mind and the heart in a profound relationship that is sometimes all too ordinary, but we believe holy. Holy, real, and deep, and long-lasting. In the end, that is the pure faith, and the faith of many in our church. But it won't be sensational. It won't make the headlines. No reporters will follow you around. But it will be deep, sustaining, and real. And most of us will never even know all that God is doing when he pulls people aside for an encounter.